Forever Dog. Race Chaser. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser, a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours?
Hello, I'm Willem.
Everyone can be someone. And that's the new song.
I never knew all those words to that one.
Be someone. Which she's gonna get a cease and desist from Tracy Chapman because that's similar to Fast Car, but on a techno beat. I'm sure Ms. Chapman is into it. I'm sure she's a friend of the show.
You got an astute ear, but I would love to see a Tracy Chapman on the judging panel one day. Just a lesbian, you don't have to wear so much makeup.
Or
you're good as you. Like that kind of thing.
I would love that.
Yeah. You know what I loved last night? Everything. It was such a good time. The live stream. And bitch, I thought of another word that you could spell from a scandalo that nobody thought of. Canoe, bitch. Canoe. Who knew about canoe, bitch?
Nobody knew about canoe. Also, mm-mm. Gabe was like, nobody did sandals. So.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't want to give it away, but you know what?
Do you mean Sandahl Bergman?
You can go ahead and check out the Secret Celebrity Drag Queen Spelling Bee Challenge Competition Contest.
Oh my God, we raised that much?
Yes, it was a live stream event that we did. And should we announce it right now? The grand total? $18,000!
Yay! We have to thank all the guests, Jinx Monsoon, a.k.a. Eliza Dushu, Mariah Paris Balenciaga, a.k.a. Mariah Successful from the Blue Team, Meatball, a.k.a. Elphaba, and Monet Exchange, a.k.a. By March, available on iTunes right now. It may also be a pop-up song a little bit later.
Yeah.
And we also have to thank everybody that bought tickets and made this possible. This is thanks to you. Thank you.
And that's $18,000 that's going to Glitz. They're an organization based in New York, and they provide relief and support for trans women of color who are recently out of Rikers. So this is a great cause. They do great work. And you can check out the video. It's available for rental and stream on Vimeo. Nice. And we'll continue to keep that money going toward Glitz on there if you want to go ahead.
Probably the link will be in the Instagram bio.
If you watch it now, you probably shouldn't enter the raffle because I'm pretty sure you're not going to win because I think it's done. But
we'll check again next year to see if anyone got disqualified in the year since. So keep betting. It's cool.
I know you love a DQ.
Mm-hmm. Disqualified.
DPDQ.
RPDPDQ. Ripperdurkabrick.
RPDRDPDQ.
Oh my God. I would love to see RPD2 roll down the runway in like a blonde wig and a Zaldi gown for like a Star Wars crossover Drag Race episode.
Beep, 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 beep.
Beep.
Beep. Cover
beep,
bot.
Beep, beep.
Put
beep.
The bass in your, put the binary in your walk.
Start my mainframe.
Robots Drag Race.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. Why don't we go ahead and get into this current episode?
Let's do it.
This was a fun episode called She MZ. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, before we do that, there's an important piece of business here I'm seeing on the outline. And it is, I want to take a moment to address this because honestly, this is a serious moment. But happy birthday, Willem!
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so blessed to be working on my birthday. I always like think to myself, like, it's great to have a job in the field that I like, and I get to like do it on my birthday. So it's a wonderful gift. And like,
you better go immediately after this and go do shrooms or something.
not today, but soon.
Are you like working all day?
I gotta clean up from like a couple days worth of shoots and like get my life together and like put away stuff from like the unboxing that we did still.
Oh yeah, I just did that too.
Like there's shoots on shoots on historical shoots back here. I gotta put everything back in my fridge because I did like a taste test where I sat in my fridge. Like,
wow,
the studio is upside down. You turn to me.
Okay.
Upside down. You turn to me. But also this episode was upside down. It turned into me because like the girls were boys, the boys were girls. They were participating in semi reality based challenges. I don't know if the producers were trying to embarrass some people in production or if they were just trying to bring stories to the forefront to make girls more readily accessible to talk about them. Like, oh, remember that shoplifter from 11 years ago? We're going to put it in the script, okay? So you're going to talk about
it. Yes. So
has anybody ever been arrested for shoplifting?
Girl, it's all the things that come out in the like leading up interviews. So just wanna, I mean, did you ever go to jail for anything?
Just between us.
Just to get some backstory and maybe we'll make a challenge about it. Which is great.
Is this the episode? This is the episode where it's after the episode where they did the Golden Palace and Resort and Glamazone and 14 Karat Room with all those hotel not so suites.
Yeah, that was last week.
Yeah.
Come we on, saw, they were good.
Girl, there was one that I maybe would have. None of them were Starwood quality.
Starwood points. I want to redeem them by Starwood points.
They weren't Ramada. They were Madon.
My Hilton Honors points, I believe I could use for the Glamazone.
Yeah, just sign in and you get $3.99 off the internet and you get to choose a croissant or muffin tomorrow morning for the continental breakfast.
$3.99 off.
Jujubee finally won her first challenge after competing on this show for 48 seasons, so I'm so proud of her.
She did. It was a good moment last week. And yeah. So we enter back right as the ladies are coming back from the runway. Shay is still shaken from her experience of being in the bottom. And, you know, she was hoping for a smooth ride, but it has more curvature in it.
Gotta go from behind at first.
Right. Juju does the ceremonial lipstick. I almost said lip stink, like lip sync.
Some of the girls have lip sync the way they're pursing their lips and making up their faces because they're not happy about being in the bottom. They got lip stink. Juju's pulling out these lipsticks and it's four for Mariah. Two for Shay and one for India. When that second Shay one comes out, everybody is gaboogalunked. Just like
Shay.
Gaboogalunked. What?
To Shay, indeed.
That was my favorite moment of the show. It was like the double entendre. Because double entendre doesn't show up to every gig that she's booked at. She only comes sometimes and not everybody sees her or gets her, but I always do. So
you
it's
always
nice.
Have- Yeah, you have a space for her. Yeah. Mayhem is the first to come out and say, you know what? I voted for Shay. And that's what I did. And then Shay's like, well, who else went ahead and voted for me?
And Alexis said that she voted for Shay because India was not an option for her. And did she mention the judging that she went off of that was the worst from the judges and that's why she did? I feel like she did.
So. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's what she was saying at the time, which I mean, I kind of see as a valid reason, but
yeah.
If you take the whole like journey,
the report card so far, yeah, not just this little semester. Shay should not have been
to say that India wasn't even an option. I mean, That okay. That it's a little questionable, and Shay's calling shade.
Mm-hmm. She's definitely calling shade. But you know what? Shay rationalizes it very easily. She knows she's a threat. She knows how good she is, and she said, "I would too if I was that scared." You know, she's not surprised right. how these girls are playing the game, and that's just what it is. It's a game, so let's not take it seriously. Let's not send hate to these people. You, the ugly girls, a little bit, but don't be rude.
Oh my God. Shay says, "You know what? I didn't think it was going to be like this, but they have no idea what games I can play, so let's have some fun." Which I think is a great...
This game is sick.
Let's have some fun. This game is sick. I want to put your name on this lipstick.
Oh my God. Now check your dick. We get a wonderful send-off message from our Spelling Bee Blue Team champion, Mariah Paris, Mariah Successful, mm-hmm. Mariah Balenciaga.
Mariah it's Bottom. That's what she wrote on the mirror.
Yes, she did.
I'm just reporting the facts.
It says, "Thank you for making this a better experience. Love, Mariah, a.k.a. Balenciaga, a.k.a. Paris, a.k.a. Successful, a.k.a. Bottom. Mug for days." Mm-hmm. We salute you, Mariah.
We do. The girls are trying to crack the code like Sasha Bell. They're like, wait, there's some kind of curse. There's some mystical curse where if you're in the top 1 week, you're in the bottom the next week. Which seems to
be... Which is more bathhouse etiquette than anything.
Bathhouse etiquette.
You know, it's a rotation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rectal decorum. the next challenge on All Star 6. I like this video message because I don't know exactly what it is, and it makes girls guess things like corn husking or beadwork.
We're just gonna box each other.
Shangela's here. Will you read the video message? Thank you so
yes.
much.
My all-stars, a dangerous woman once said, "There's no such thing as bad publicity, because if you can handle a scandal, your walk of shame could lead you to the Hall of Fame."
Squeak. Oh, dangerous woman. That's why Cracker dresses up as Ari later. It's foreshadowing.
Yes.
That little sweetener outfit. So Rue's here, and she looks sickening, as always. These suits are the ticket every time. They're turning the party.
Always. The suits are the queen of the party.
Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah.
The quiz girl doing this is...
It's Miller time. So this maxi challenge, we get straight to it. There's no Minnie. Minnie is gone. She's sucking off Mickey right now. It's for SheMZ. Working in teams, you need to improv your way through some scandalous situations. And you gotta be funny. Make me laugh.
It's time for some more skits,
and
y'all.
Scats.
Mm. Yes. And the teams are chosen by production.
So there's nothing untoward there, and it's all very fair and random.
Girl.
Okay. We're gonna take a break.
They're choosing. Okay, bye. The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones. And, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. and you should like try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it and she really liked it too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
So we're back. I think they're choosing the teams based on, you know, dramatic possibility. Because
I also agree.
Yeah. Because, like, especially with Shay and Alexis, because it was sort of like, hey, I just voted for you to go home. Now let's work together to make a really great scene.
Yeah. And also, if you notice, they put the girls with the lowest report cards together.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
I noticed that first away. I was like, oh, they trying to get rid of one of my girls.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
So they did that for sure. They said, one of these girls, you're going to send home. They made it clear. They were Roxy Andrewing.
Yeah, here to make it clear. Mayhem in India, the setup is they are shop girls with a shoplifting scandal.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is what we talked about before. India had she had her own personal sale. Everything was five fingers off. and she was caught stealing three dresses from a mall, I'm guessing. And she did
I
her
stole
time.
Three dresses.
I heard one was a jumpsuit. But it did not. Okay. She served her time. She's out, and it has been incorporated into the RuPaul's Drag Race history forever. She's a mop queen, but we've all been a mop queen before. All been there.
I've never shoplifted.
Bitch, you shoplifted at Lady Gaga's party. I saw you. And then
that's
Lady Gaga.
Shoplifting. That's stealing gift bags. That's different. That's like promotional items. I've never like gone into a store and been like, what's good? I'm going to take this and risk the beeper going off.
Yeah,
I
me
neither.
I
literally have never done it.
I don't do that either. I just go into the store and just take. I don't see what's good. You figure that out later when you go through it in the car and then divide it up between your friends. That's how you mop.
I know of this one queen who I won't name. She used to go into Joann Fabrics, okay? And she used to have them cut a big old swath of yards and yards of fabric. Then she'd take it and they'd give you the little slip. And instead of taking it right up to the register, she would sort of unfold it and put it on as like a chignon scarf. Like sort
love
of
infinity scarf, infinity shoplifting
infinity scarf. And then she would just get on her phone and be like, yeah, they didn't have it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. Yeah. And just walk out of the store.
That is so smart and devious.
And I know a lot of the divas used to steal the stones from Miss Joanne.
Those plastic stones. God
yes.
bless. That is shade right there because those stones sparkle so little they actually cast shade.
Shade.
Honestly.
Willem, you used to always say that NARS
fits behind your iPhone exactly.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I only steal NARS because it's so annoying because you have to open up the lid every time to see what color it is. It's like if they made more efficient packaging, I would just steal the sample because they already have the lids off of those.
Oh, my gosh.
But I haven't been shoplifting anymore now that I have my own makeup brand.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Which team would you want to be on? Because Shay and Alexis, for me, that seems like one of the strongest teams in my book because they're both two like loud and fierce personalities, and improv usually
That's
relies
she.
On people not fading. So
That's she, yeah.
Shay and Alexis's team is basically the gist is icy drag queen was fired from fake housewives of Tuckahoe for being too fake, and that's Shay. And then a trashy drag queen was fired from the same fake TV show for being too trashy.
Too trashy.
Too trashy. Basura. Mucho basura.
They couldn't handle her sexiness.
They couldn't. I mean, Alexis knows sexy.
Yes, she does. They are very, you can see in their initial like eye contact, they're like, we know that this is like
the jig is up.
The jig is fully up.
For the first time this season, the jig is up.
Right. And not to be outdone, I mean, the Jujubee Blair Ms. Cracker team has the possibility to be really fun and really funny as well. It's a mother-daughter duo and a shady queen at the center of a college admissions scandal. Very Lori Loughlin. Yes.
Very Felicity Huffman.
Very F-Huff. That vibe.
Former guest judge Felicity Huffman.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Now, this team has room for conflict too, though, because Blair and Cracker were on the same season, or they've been friends for like 2 years, and then they had that little thing where like Cracker was kind of taken over for Blair in that dance challenge or episode, the girl group, and there was definitely tension there. So I think they're amping up for at least a quick rehash of that in the beginning, because you know the girls love to talk it out.
Well, Ms. Cracker's like, hold up, baby, hold up. We need to get it together before you want to read.
Let me get into this pink coat.
And she says, I heard, somebody told me, and there are whispers in the wind that you've been plotting against me to get me out of this competition. What is that based on?
That's probably based on producers asking her questions like, so who do you think was plotting against you? And then seeing her face like, what? And then they went, oh. Producers lie. They do it to make you give a reaction later, but maybe she also heard it from one of the girls. Who knows? But
make you wear a white dress when you have to poop and lock the bathroom. Half it on Unreal.
I definitely. Well, that one girl pooped on Flavor of Love too. Remember, on the stairs.
It must have been based on that. I don't know.
No. That too. But she definitely left a turd on the stairs.
Juju is very aroused though by this conflict.
Yeah, and she's just in the middle being like a good little Juju sandwich, just looking at these white girls with problems.
Literally leave it to Juju to take like something that could be really like awkward and just make it
enjoyable.
So enjoyable, so funny. Yeah. She's a dream. I just fucking love her.
When I was being plotted against on my season of the show by a fellow castmate, I had no idea until I watched the season, and that gave me a complete 180 on a couple people that I thought I was cool with. I had no idea, and I was just like, oh wow, they really like did not like me, or they thought I was a threat or something. But I was just like, this isn't how we like really signed up to play the game. But then I was like, this is a different game for everybody, and that's no more evident in this team than ever. Because Blair doesn't really believe Cracker. It sounds like she says she's not guilty. The conversation is a little confusing, but can I mention something? We've been getting a lot of comments on Twitter about like what we should talk about, and what why certain girls don't curry favor with me, or if I don't like somebody or whatever. I have no personal problems with Cracker. I worked with her. I had such a good time. I literally have a picture that she drew of me of a cat on the wall at the studio. But I'm just going off of what I'm seeing in this show. The show is an entertainment-based program. Please don't take everything so seriously. If you tweet me and tell me what to do, I don't know if your results will be what you want. But good luck. So much good luck.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, girl, well, that being said, I mean, I think it's clear that we love all these divas. I mean, we are.
Production sure doesn't. They're ruining some girls right now.
Or attempting to. But I mean, the fan base and the viewers are savvy, and they're able to see when bamboozlement is happening. I think now more than ever.
I mean, with that switch last week where they just said you, this team did the best, but you're the winner. That was like the ultimate, like, switcheroo, Scooby-Doo,
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking about a show, we're watching it like viewers, and we're enjoying it. But honestly, all of these girls are our fucking sisters, and we fucking love them. And anything we say here, we would joke about in a dressing room with any of these divas.
As okay. soon as they went on stage, we would say.
Never, no.
I'm kidding. So this GMZ challenge is actually fun because this is something we all do. We all look at gossip and keep up with the girls.
That's gossip.
Babylon. And I love that we get to see Cressley Carson, because he's
doing a character. He's a doing high concept character.
You know Carson. He's got his arsenal of characters. It's what he does.
He does what he does best.
And all these queens in boy looks, I feel like mm-hmm. they look like lesbians for Halloween with like little fake mustaches, because you can see all the pump coming through all the fake hair and everything, and it's just like, what's going on here?
I disagree with you. I think a lot of them did a really great job with this.
Yeah,
I really do.
No, that's what I meant. Yeah.
I think some did better than others. I think Blair St. Clair, I mean, she's wearing a ton of makeup, which if you're doing like trade category, you can do like color correction, but keep it very like sheer, because once you start like, oh, I'm just going to do a little contour. Okay, now I have to balance it out with highlight. Oh, no, now I have to fill in my brows. Now I have to wear mascara. Oh, now I just need a little cut crease. Then it just turns into full face.
Turns into detox during the day.
And then she puts on a wig.
Girl, the wig is what did it for me. I was...
on an Ellen DeGeneres for Halloween wig.
She looked like Elizabeth Warren as a young man. my boy interview look was always just like a little bit of like Air Flash or Sally Hansen by the end, because I was broke. Like just a little just beep 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 beep, and then like mm-hmm. you take the foundation off your lip to let that natural tint show through, color match your butthole, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
Did you wear boy beat? Did you do a boy beat baby?
For All Stars, yes, a little. I mean, it wasn't like Vanjie level where she was like fucking TV white under on the highlights, full contour, ombre'd brow. Like I didn't go that far, but like I filled in my brows and, you know, just like color corrected a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my hair.
Yeah, of course. These fake housewives, Shay looks good. Shay, I'm down.
She didn't do too much.
She did everything right.
Yeah. Can we talk about... Oh, Big Dipper wants to talk about Trade Goulet.
I just showed it to you. That's all.
I mean, we were moving on to the scene, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not even my birthday.
I'm not mad at Trade Goulet at all. I think she did a really great job in trade category.
I mean, also, when it's right, it's right. And he didn't have to do too much because it's right.
Also, honorable mention, I know they aren't really getting judged on this like scene. Uh-huh. It's just like kind of fun, the trade category. But honorable mention goes to Mayhem, who really is like walking this category. Grand prize.
Remember when she did Kanye last season and nobody knew and we were all fucking
I know.
Gooped? Like Mayhem's a dark horse, honestly.
Yes.
Which I guess she's related to you. but yeah, Mayhem, we salute her for sure also. Yeah, Sister Dick will make you sick. I just have to keep telling myself that. You keep holding up these pictures of the girls.
Every category, I think, counts in some way. Maybe not on the judging panel, but in just the overall scheme of things. Moving on to the Tuckahoe scene, Shay Coulee's look is... She could have worn this on the runway. This wasn't an off-the-rack, ready-to-go, just kind of scene work outfit. She looks exquisite. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what did she wear?
It was this, like, black and white pantsuit.
Oh, yeah. And it was a blazer?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then the Sylvia Plath bell jar hair thing.
So beautiful.
Yeah. The Alexis look is a jumpsuit, which makes her look pregnant.
She was wearing a pillow.
Yeah, which is, it's part of the gag. Like, they're going back and forth, and then one of them is pregnant. No, I'm pregnant too. And then just pillow fight, wig snatch, table throw, yelling. And then Alexis
feathers.
Alexis puts a burger in her bra. I mean, we haven't seen feather work like this since Courtney Act in season 6.
Courtney knows how to do sexy.
Courtney knows feathers.
Can you give us their catchphrases from their fake housewives show?
Sure. Shay says, hold on, where is it? I might be pretty on the outside, but on the inside, I'm pure garbage.
And Alexis says, I'm not just sickening, I'm contagious.
That doesn't age well in the age of COVIDina.
Maybe
West,
not right now.
West COVIDina.
Alexis, as a boy in the CMZ room, gives us a little throwback, and she says, bam, which we've all been waiting for all season.
Honey, when you've got a catchphrase, use it. That's what I always say. How'd you think they did in this scene?
I thought there was a lot of energy, which is always great. It's hard to make a scene. It's always easier to bring someone down than bring someone up. So I appreciate their energy. I appreciate them both being gung-ho and going for it. There was a little talking over, but like, I loved anything that gets physical, and like, there was no lag. It didn't feel like a lag. It felt like it was like pumping and going and doing its job.
Yeah.
And Alexis putting burgers in her titty as the button on the scene. It's just perfect, you know, and hilarious. And I think both ladies did a wonderful job. What did you think?
I thought so too. I mean, the characterizations were very clear. Their conflict was very apparent. Alexis did a little bit of steamrolling, a little bit of talking over, a little bit of no, which is, those are no-nos in improv. But once they sort of got into it and got going, it was, I think, a very successful scene.
Same. This break that we're about to take is very important.
Okay. And we're back. Excuse me. Hi. Yeah. What? Could I check your bag?
No. I have my receipts.
We have a full camera system in the store, so I don't want to embarrass you in front of a reporter deliberately.
No, I understand. But maybe we can step outside because my Shopify receipt has all my items itemized, and
we're in a parking lot.
Run, so bitch! No. The girl, when I got busted for shoplifting Tu Wong Fu from Blockbuster Video in Merritt Island, Florida, on the first day I got my learner's permit and had my car, I was like, if I get arrested, they're going to take away my permit. I'll never be able to drive. So I hid in a dumpster for a half an hour, and I lost my shoe running there. And the shoes were these cute little flip-flops with rainbows on them. And I was so scared. I didn't shoplift again for like a week.
She had her learner's permit, and she said, the first thing I'm going to do is a crime spree. The very first thing.
You know they put the censors behind the please rewind sticker. BT does.
Oh,
not that we have to deal with that anymore. Blockbuster Zero, Willem One.
Yeah, that's, yeah, you got them. In the long run, you really got them. Now, this scene,
now, Jujubee is the mom. And Blair is the daughter.
Oh, we're not even going to talk about the shoplifting scene.
Wait, isn't that next? Did we do Blair and Juju already?
It got a little out of order, but that's fine.
Oh, no, I skipped over it. I'm so sorry. Oh,
so
shit.
You don't, no, I get it. You don't like Cracker. I see it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And
Miss Cracker is doing a scene. Anyway, we have to take a break.
How's
thank
India?
You so much.
Cracker does have a great joke, which was the joke of the year last year, with poking fun at our friend, Lady Gaga. She said, there could be 100 people in a room, and you were shocked because no one ever comes to your shows.
This is funny. I have to.
You gotta say it in the right order.
Sometimes things get out of hand. These nails make it hard for me to shuffle the papers. I don't know.
They are great nails. Are those 3-inch? 3.5?
It's a 3 3/4, and they're titanium because when Courtney sings, she just inspires me. And
titanium!
She's, go! Yeah. Because once she hits those notes, sometimes you just want to take those nails and put them down a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Just to harmonize with her voice.
As a palate cleanser.
As a palate cleanser.
This
love story, this forbidden love. I mean, this is the...
That was weird.
Yeah, with Juju and Cracker, I did not see that coming.
Like an add-on, like it was kind of unnecessary. But I have to give credit where credit is due, because I watched this episode for the pit stop. Mm-hmm. And when I first watched it, I was like, I liked Shay and Alexis's scene the best. And I thought this scene was just kind of like meandering and shaky. But rewatching it with people, I wasn't like in a large group, I'll have you know. It was with my roommate and my boyfriend at the in the living room. So that's my idea of a group viewing. It was Cracker was really, really fucking funny.
Yeah, she obviously knows what she's doing.
Yes. She got the most laughs. She was really like she was the centerpiece of this scene, and she did a really great job.
She was making the most out of a little, which is what these premises are. Here's the premise. Do everything. She was giving it backstory. She looked through the window. She was mugging. She was doing everything right. And she deserves definitely a big slice of cream cheese pie.
Cream cheese pie.
Also, shout out to Ross because he keeps things pumping. And he's trying to give everybody a chance with his lines of questioning to shine.
Yeah,
it did not feel like it didn't feel like rigged at all once they got into the challenge. Everybody was doing real good. I thought so far.
And Jujubee was really. I mean, Jujubee is just a great asset to have in any scenario because she will amplify everything. She was really funny. For your performance. This is for your performance. Very funny.
And
very
that funny hair? Stuff. Bitch, get me that in a 27/6/13 any day.
Girl, you already have 4 of it. I don't know why you want another one.
I don't deserve nice things. I don't deserve everything in life. It's my birthday, bitch.
You deserve everything in life.
Thank you. I'm not saying she's not beautiful. But yeah.
And how about now we're going to jump ahead to the shoplifting. Miss, can I check your bag?
This is my favorite.
Can I please talk to you for a second?
Thank you for being woman enough to show me your receipt. this was my favorite name, Fred Siegel, because that should be the name of a drag store in LA for sure.
Yeah, and the shopping bags said Fred Siegel on them.
So great. India's tits are huge. She looks like a fourth wife bopping on down to mop the world and audition for the cheetah at the same time.
I appreciate this because, well, I don't know what she's doing at the cheetah, but it ain't dancing. I appreciate this from her because she sort of got criticized for the breastplate on her original season. They were like, oh, and again, you're wearing the breastplate. So I like that she's like, well, honey, I'm the breastplate. Queen. I brought 6 of them. Here's the biggest.
This is the one in tawny beige. I love India because when you look at her and think, where is this girl from? Or where does she reside now? I don't think Ohio or wherever the fuck she's from. I think that bitch lives in Vegas. Or like if I didn't know and then I'd be like, tell me, I don't know where the fuck she lives. And someone said Vegas, I'd be like, ah, that makes sense.
It really does make sense.
She's
yes.
just a showgirl. And like that's she a showgirl is. During the day. Just like pump, pump, pumping along, shoplifting, getting her gigs done. That's what showgirls do.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, Mayhem had a problem with India's showgirl character. And she came out with the metal detector, running it all over, beep, beep, beep on that sound.
Yes.
It was almost like the what was it called? It was 2017. The drag, the desponder,
Dragulator?
Dragulator. No. Maybe, I don't know. What was that thing that they can never get the sound effect to work at the same time as the prop joke?
Are you talking about the AAA girls?
Yes, like in 2000.
Oh, the Flaw Detector 5000. That, don't yeah. Don't get me fucking started. The cue is the lights flash on and off, I think.
Well,
every sound check, it was just pulling teeth. It was like, no, could we get the lights to flash on and off, though?
Not just on. Yeah. I mean,
no,
I don't...
There was a string of Christmas lights that blinked a little.
in the green room.
In the green room, Diva.
I don't want to get you started on this because we could never get the Flaw Detector started. So, I mean, moving on.
It is just...
Do you think India had that vase in her crotch the whole time, or do you think that was a reset and then drop? Because if she did have it in her coochie, those Kegels must be doing their job.
No, I think it was a reset. I mean, they were moving about, they were walking, they were like doing stuff.
I think it was a reset. I think it's smart that some of the girls incorporated like tropes that we've seen on gossip sites, like you know, you had the fighting at the Ivy with the first one, and then you had the college admissions, and now the third one, Mayhem and Alexis employ this gag of licking. And
India.
Well, they both do it.
Yeah, they both do it. I didn't get that this was Ariana Grande reference. I didn't get it. I was like, what? I didn't understand the licking. I thought it was gross and I didn't like it. And I don't think it was adding to their scene. I thought it was just weird.
Yeah, in the way that the lesbian, like, lesbianic overtones to the end of Juju and Crackers thing felt like a bit of an add-on. That felt like more successful, at least, than the licking. Because once you get past the initial sight gag of the licking and the donuts disintegrated, it's like, I didn't know where they could go for that. And it didn't feel like the strongest ending to me. I like seeing that that tangy tongue work.
Lots of tongue work, lots of breakaway glass. The glass falling out of the crotch was really the highlight of the scene. They used it in the commercial cutaway. It was funny, it was unexpected. And
India feels like she did her best in the challenge. That's what she says the next day in the workroom anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that she's feeling confident. Being in the bottom three can be a bitch. So and she's been in the bottom three for like 2 weeks in a row now. So this feels like a little U-turn for her, which is great to see.
Yeah, and improv is hard, and it's also very hard because you don't really have an idea of how it went, especially compared to the others. You just go, you do the scene, and then you're like, okay, next day, let's get ready for the runway. I hope that was good.
Yeah. Honestly, their fate is out of their hands with the edit, but everybody can just do their best and hope that brings them through. Alexis and Shay being like dressing room girls back and forth.
Frenemies.
Girl, I live because what like
just great girls.
Yeah, I like seeing Shay and Alexis display exemplarhood in or exemplary qualities in I don't know the word. What
we should have spelled that at the spelling.
They're showing sisterly traits, even though they may not get along 100%. They're still being professionals, getting the job done, and still kikiing and not letting their thoughts not be known.
Exactly. This Red is player. The way to navigate like awkward, weird drama on a show like this. They're doing a great job of it.
100%.
Now, have you ever been arrested?
Bam!
This is the mirror chats. The girls talk about their...
You want to play this game, sweetie? You want to play this game?
Have they had any scandals? Have they had
a scandalos?
TMZ were there any moments?
Did they come out of their lane in their canoe?
Well, I actually do want to play. When Sharon and I broke up, it was splashed across peoplemagazine.com.
So famous. Oh, you didn't make the print edition?
No, girl. They did the they did the picture of us with the like lightning or the page rip between us.
Yeah. Oh, heartbreak. Which,
it was, girl, it was a really difficult time in my life, but looking back on it, I mean, that's kind of epic to have that kind of, to have that moment. But how about you? Have you ever been a TMZ girl?
I don't know if I've
anything
been
we can talk about here.
I don't know if I've been a TMZ girl. I have definitely been arrested for battery of a cohabitant. It's not something I am proud of. My hair was so frizzy that day.
My God.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah.
It didn't make the rags.
Nope. Charges dropped. Charges dismissed. Yeah.
I remember when the TMZ thing happened with Blair St. Clair, and all we got was her mugshot. And this was the first taste of her season, because it was like, right after it filmed, but we didn't even know when it was coming or who the next girls were. Nothing was announced. And then
we didn't know if Rue was in the
shot.
Car when she was driving.
We there didn't know anything.
Yeah.
But so, I thought she would, and she kind of looked kind of like dangerous and like kind of like, and it was like she's arrested and hauled off the set of RuPaul's Drag Race for violating parole. So I don't know. I had this impression of Blair St. Clair as this like badass, like tattooed, like fucking, fucking person. And then we see her on her season and she's like this like 12-year-old, like adorable child.
Literally, she could have been charged with endangering a minor because she basically was. She hadn't even taken her SATs yet at that point.
I'm not even old enough to vote.
SAT stands for simple asterisk, and you learn them as a first bottom by the time you're 18. That's all I'm saying. This is a fun mirror chat because we get to know more about the girls. Not fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
Rehash your hardest moments.
There's one thing about the LA girls, and one thing is a number of them have some DUIs because getting to the gigs, you got to drive. I know.
Enough about Chanel Perillo.
Please. Oh! Bitch, I used to breath start her car sometimes. I love her.
Oh my gosh.
She is my sister.
I'm not condoning drinking and driving, okay? I abhor drinking and driving. I think it's really bad. It almost fucking killed my mother. So
I was hit by a drunk driver when I was 13.
That explains a lot, but no.
It's her birthday.
I'm totally kidding.
Here's the thing though, in LA, and especially with someone like Mayhem who works in the city, but she lives outside of the city and it's like an hour long commute. So she drives to work.
Yeah, I like that she did mention that she was glad she didn't hurt anybody else and about that. Because so many people are like, oh, my career and blah, 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 blah. I've talked to girls that have gotten them and that's what, you know, sometimes their condition of their release is they can't be around alcohol. They can't be on, go out after, like, curfews from, like, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., you know? And, like, sometimes parole officers don't care and they can't work for a little bit. I've known girls like that. So the fact that she's talking about the repercussions of what happens and stuff like that is really helpful. And it's super responsible of the show to include that. It's not fun, but it's important. And she served her time and she got her help. And she is I heard she was the queen of the party in there, too. She was running the commissary.
Queen of the party. No, I mean, DUI is like really expensive.
Heard that too. It's minimum $10,000 in fines and stuff usually, and lawyers.
It's also really dangerous and it can kill people. So this is the thing, like buzzed driving is drunk driving. So like, just don't do it. If you're going to be driving, like literally just don't drink. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Deb?
She also talked about how humiliated she was by the police that forced her to strip and take photos, like, you know, because she was in drag, which is, you know, very, very timely with a lot of people learning about how corrupt the policing system is.
Yeah, that's what happens. I mean, if anybody has watched Tiger King, I also implore you to spend less time. It's not as long as Tiger King, but watch When They See Us, and you can learn about a lot of police corruption and stuff that goes on. And Isis King is in it too. She does a pop up. And when I was arrested, I had to get naked. They took away my hair tie. I had like my hair in a ponytail, and they took away my hair tie. They're like, this could be a danger to yourself or something. I was like, really? They do everything that they can to demean you and to show that you are no longer in charge of your own existence while you're there. I feel like cops make a point to do that to... They made a point to do it to me, for sure. You know, like, they slid a piece of paper under the door, but no pencil. And I was like, my rights on this wall say I'm entitled to writing materials. And they literally sent a piece of paper under the door. And then I was like, can I have a pencil or a pen? And they're like, we don't have any. And then the first thing I did when I got out is walk by one of their desks and put my finger in the pencil holder and swirl it around like it was a cup. And I'm like, oh, so many pens. I also had my lawyer next to me, so I felt brave and emboldened, and the charges were dropped. But like, I was like, what the fuck? How is denying me the right to a fucking Ticonderoga making you feel like a bigger and better person? Like, they didn't even know the facts of the situation. They took my fucking hair tie. Sorry, I'm still mad. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to process this. Well, I processed it, and it's as processed as my ends.
Wow.
This main stage outfit from Rue is something we have never seen, and I applaud Mother for taking all these risks this season. This one almost pays off, I think, too. How do you feel about this one shoulder Pop Warner-esque gown with this big, slightly asymmetrical do coif?
I love the hair. I love the mug. The dress is, you know, it's, I understand that it's like a thing. I don't know. I mean, it's like a fashion thing. Like, it has graphic, like, it's like different sports jerseys or like different things with pleather.
It gives
understand.
Me very Melrose.
Right. It's a thing. Would I like go ahead and jump at the chance to wear this personally? It's not really my style, but like, whatever. She looks cool. It's, like you said, it's taking a risk. It's a departure for her. Go.
I think I could definitely do it without that one trash bag sleeve.
The Fifi O'Hara promo look sleeve.
This is patent leather.
This is ostrich skin.
Wow. This is baby python.
Ostrich leather, baby python.
This
do you know how many baby pythons?
This muff is made of handicapped chinchilla.
Oh, okay.
The rarest.
Go ahead and cut that. We're gonna leave that on the cutting room floor.
Okay. The guest judges also look resplendent. We have Michelle Visage, Carson Kressley, and Sarah Hyland. And she's from Modern Family.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She's given me straight up Vanessa Hudgens 2.0 right now, because it's almost the same hair as Vanessa had. It's a deep V-neck sequined gown. And then she says something that's kind of appropriationatory. You know, the way Vanessa was like, oh, I love voguing. She just says, I am a true East Village hood rat queen.
And RuPaul's like, okay. Anyway.
Yeah, just keep it pumping, Ru. I love it.
RuPaul's like, cool. Anyway.
The East Village is so expensive. By the time this girl was born, she looks maybe like 20 or something. That was like 2000. That was after rent and when everybody started buying up like Alphabet City. It's expensive. Like, even trash and vaudeville's gone.
Girl.
Hood.
Yeah.
She's calling the East Village a hood. Goodbye.
Girl. Not girl. Okay. Ugh. So the category is, come on, Camo Couture. This is a fun runway. Let's get into it. Juju B.
Capes on the runway. This is a cameline cape and a classic khaki with a red pump, red clutch, and red do. And it is a do. I wish there was a brooch, though.
It's a reference to Troop Beverly Hills, which also Gigi Good did a similar thing. But I love this reference. The gag of opening the coat and it matches the dress is so drag.
Rich.
It's pristinely tailored. Mm-hmm. She has really never looked better to me. She looks outstanding.
Did Dallas make it, you think?
I don't know for sure.
I'm texting.
I would wildly conjecture that yes.
Dallas Culture Drag Race. The next doll on the runway is Ms. Cracker. She is very Ariana Grande in classic camo with a high blonde pony. And this looks
very
like one of
those little mix.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a Marco's wig, maybe. It also could be a 1-800 wig takeout. It's that good ponytail that doesn't go anywhere.
Great hair. I mean, great styling. This is kind of the standard what you think of if you think like drag queen camo number. You think of Destiny's Child Survivor or Little Mix in concert kind of.
Definitely.
Vibe.
I think she looks great. She looks, if someone said
she
camo.
Looks amazing.
And then they said pick a look to wear out of all these girls, I would probably be picking Cracker's look just for my body.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. She looks a very you moment.
Yeah. She looks sickening. Blair. What do you think of this? I think she's taking the camouflage thing a little. She loves to interpret. She was pink last week. Now she's a tree when they said camouflage. I get that trees are camouflaged or like you can't see the tree through the forest, but I'm not sure.
She's doing the Jan where she's interpreting it and then reinterpreting the interpretation and then giving that to us on the runway. To me, this doesn't scream camouflage. And I've rewatched it. And if you look closely, the print.
The leaf? Is the leaf camo?
It is, actually.
Okay.
And so I give her points for that. But then the butterflies just take away from it for me because it starts to look kind of like
if the theme was nature.
A tree costume.
Yeah,
nature themed.
It's very hooker HR Puffin stuff. But
she's a beautiful girl. She deserves everything beautiful alive.
Her makeup is sickening too, and she did a tutorial for this online, and I watched it and tried it, and then cried.
Really great.
Why'd you cry?
Speaking of really great, we have Shea Coulee of the House of Coulee, mother of Coulees, pumping down the runway in a blue, teal, and white camo 60s look with a hair scarf, watering can, latex leggings, you know, because she's watering. She can't get those legs wet. They'll grow even longer.
I can't say enough about this.
The shape, this like Marc Jacobs shifty, swifty swing dress. I love it. There's so many wonderful things happening here. I feel like she has a reveal under that hair possibly into maybe a little bus driver with like a accent track, like a, you know, just in the
it's
front.
It's drag. It's drag excellence. And I keep seeing new things that I love. I mean, initially the silhouette is so brilliant. The camouflage watering can is transcendent. Then you get into like the thin glass glasses, iridescent, the nails, the hand poured latex stocking leg. It keeps on giving. I love this so much. This is like what All Stars is for, to see this kind of stuff.
It's All Stars 5, darling. Alexis, I think, looks the best I've ever seen her on a runway, almost. She's looked great other times too, but I just love this look because it's something I've never expected to see from her. And she kind of gagged me. She looks beautiful.
She's not fucking around.
She's a drag queen.
Yeah.
This winter camo, she's giving me like Aurora Monroe storm vibes for sure.
Yeah.
It's sickening.
And she actually, the backstory to this outfit is this was the military issued uniform for her boyfriend who is in the military.
Oh yeah, her boyfriend has joined the Dark White Walker army, and that's why she's wearing this coat, because she's waiting him to come home, baby.
He's coming home from the Arctic where he's stationed.
Yeah.
And this was his Arctic camo outfit.
Well, someone press the Jada Essence Hall button, Big Dipper.
She looks fucking awesome. She's so good at drag. This is drag.
It's, you know, when a girl paints her forehead on Drag Race, she means it. Courtney did it. You did it. Detox did it. I feel like Bianca painted her forehead at some point.
Yeah. Chad Michaels.
Chad Michaels at Versace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love.
Next, we have Mayhem.
Mayhem. This feels like a costume that would be under a reveal to me. Like,
right.
it feels great. There's nothing wrong with it. But like Michelle says, it's All Stars, and it is one of the more simple looks on the runway tonight. I'm not saying it's bad. I would also wear this. I wouldn't look as good in it as Mayhem, because she got all that ass. But it is a cute look. I'm giving it a toot.
I'm giving it a definite salute. She looks fucking beautiful. Salute. Hair color.
I like this... Sorry, go ahead.
No, this choice of camo color, no one else did. It's dainty. It's feminine.
It harkens back to when she took it pink during the denim challenge, and she was the only one who did it then, too.
Right.
That pink look for me was a little more effective than this one. But, bitch, you know I love a girl in a white boot. That's a sign of a true hooker.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have like 5 pairs of white boots, honestly, and I could show you them all now. I have a problem with white boots.
Unboxing.
I just did one yesterday. I got Meatballs palette. I got a Jada Essence Hall shirt. I got so much fun stuff from the queens. The Meatball palette is sickening, by the way.
It is really good. Hip dot, Meatball.
I mean, it couldn't help your team win, but like it, I'm sure you guys felt beautiful wearing it. And we'll put a picture of Meatballs palette colors on our Instagram. It's Race Chaser Pod, so you guys can see it and check it out too. And
we're not going to talk about who won and why and how, because I think it's pretty clear which team were the superior spellers.
Me too. I definitely agree. It's so nice we're on the same page.
I think that when the final round kind of negates the whole action of the entire competition, it's a little lackluster to me.
Wait, are you talking about the spelling bee or season 9?
From a structural standpoint. And also, I guess that the person on one of the teams just kind of didn't listen to the Time's Up for the final round, then just like kept writing for I don't know, like it seemed to be several minutes afterward, but we eventually told her that the time was up. But no, it was really close, and it was really fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, almost as fun as India's camo kimono. Because these latex
kimono, she did not.
this is drag. This is drag, 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 drag. She has on camo. She has on patent. She's got the exposed corset. She's got the slick back wet look Kimora hair. Like, she's doing it.
She's India fairing about, for sure.
And the little highlight instead of the eyebrow, she has on cosmetics. Fucking counter.
Yeah.
Like, she looks great.
She will paint you underneath the cement.
When she starts doing your eye, she usually starts like kind of on your shoulder blade, and that's where your liner ends.
Yes,
that's India Farah. I love
her.
She
goes deep, and she don't get no sleep. And she'll be up
the morning
night.
Light comes, and she's still up all night.
Right. I said it on the pit stop, and I'll say it again. Slick back wet hair is not a thrilling moment to me.
Jamie Lee Curtis. All the girls.
I get it. I know. She was in the hallway. She took the water out of the flower vase.
You feel like a woman with that hair slicked back. But then you show all the features, which may not be so womanly when you pull all that hair do back.
I understand that she's like showing variety because she's like, diva, I'm known for being drag, drag, drag on drag, huge hair, huge mm-hmm. earrings, huge everything. So she's showing a different side of herself. I get it. It goes with this. If it was like maybe like an inch short, if it was like a Mari slicked back, maybe I would have liked it better. But I think it's like longer and slicked back.
We literally tried to burn Amari off of our sister's head. What are you?
But like Lola does the like Mari, and she look and like it looks great because it is Jamie Lee Curtis length,
and she has like that mug.
That right? Yes, but I mean India Farah is Mug House boots as well. So
also Mug House boots, but I mean we're not mad at Courtney for like ever wearing that wig. We're mad at her for wearing it for like 8 years
with a baseball cap.
A baseball cap and no pads. That's what we're mad at. We're not mad at the wig. We're mad at our sister.
Her dates liked it, so I guess this is
true.
Proof is in the actual pudding.
And the pudding came out of her date.
Do you have any pudding?
It's me. I'm coming over. Leave the fridge open.
Okay, so let's get into the critiques.
No. You want to make fun of Courtney with us?
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to keep things, you know, moving here.
Keep it pumping, queen. Rue, same thing. So Juju is told, her CMZ performance was layered. Like a, Sarah Hyland appreciated her improv acting and, gave everyone improv 101 on how that should work.
Look, you know, Juju just won, and you have to spread around. She could have easily won this week, but she just won, and so like they had to find something to critique. But yeah, she did great in the challenge. She looked flawless on the runway.
Were there any negatives? I didn't hear any. I feel like she was definitely top.
Carson was like, I would have liked more wow factor with your runway look.
I'm with Carson. I would have loved a statement piece of jewelry, even like a hair clip or a brooch or something, just to give it like a little pop. I loved it.
I will not broach this subject with you. I just
fucking hate you. I'm done.
Unplug my mic and leave meeting. I am done. Uninstall Zoom. Do not allow plugin. Do
factory
not
reset.
Allow audio. Do not allow video access. Okay.
All that.
Can we just talk about like who did good and who did not?
Yeah.
Sure. I think that'd be great. Cracker did good. Michelle liked her outfit. Everybody agrees that Yeah, everybody agrees that she's very funny, and she was definitely leading the scene and gave it that energy from the top, which it needed.
And looked clean and perfect on the runway, so it's a good week for Crackletina.
And I would like to note, too, that Cracker, Blair, and Juju B had the most difficult task at hand, too, because three people improving is way more variables than two people improving. So I would like to commend all those ladies for how well they pulled this off, because that's not an easy thing all the time.
Definitely.
Now, Alexis, easy breezy, beautiful, White Walker, hooker.
They loved her runway look. I mean, they raved about it, but they said that she could have listened a little bit more in the improv scene. And I agree.
Definitely, for sure. Mayhem's critiques are basically saying that her character wasn't strong enough, took too long to develop, and I don't know if she was feeling some kind of way, but they definitely wanted to portray it as her feeling slighted when Michelle said, "I'm Black Barbie going to combat," and she was retorting her. And May says, "I don't have an attitude. I'm just kikiing," which I understand, because like you go back on this show, Mayhem's known Michelle since like 2011 or 12, probably, when, you know, Michelle used to go to Mickey's and like kiki with all of us. And
yeah,
Mayhem was definitely in the clique. She's a WeHo girl. And now it's like this same lady that she works with sometimes, like critiquing her. And it doesn't always feel like it's coming from a genuine spot, because it's like, if you were out in public, you'd never say that to her. But like, because it's Michelle's job and she has to, you know, feelings sometimes get hurt, or at least they want you to think that. But I think Mayhem and Michelle will both be fine after this.
Yeah. And I mean, it's sort of like, of course I'm going to have an attitude. I thought I did fierce, and now everyone on the stage is telling me that I fucked up. So of course I'm going to have a fucking attitude.
And honestly, when we get into the room, in the workroom again, the Shay and Alexis are surprised that India and Mayhem aren't in the top, which means I feel like they watched it all on the runway, and everybody thought that theirs was the funniest. So the fact that they're in the bottom now is very, I can see the fingerprints of production all over this episode. Not as much as last episode where they just left it till the end, but this one I definitely see it.
When it comes to India, Sarah Hyland asks the age-old question, will you do my makeup like that?
And can I try on your wig? I love your hair.
This is a thing. And RuPaul talks about this in an interview. He's like, when people say that to me, I always say, no, I will not. No, I will not do your makeup, because it's not my job to improve your experience as.
Yeah, it's Ravens. As...
But like, when you're out in drags, you are a presence and a persona and a person. You are not there to be like, to be
a doll on the shelf to be played with.
I'm not your plastic doll.
The winner of this competition is Ms. Cracker, and she wins a 4-night stay in beautiful Montreal, Canada, including hotel and airfare courtesy Tourism Montreal.
Queen of the North.
Montreal has a sickening drag bar. I was just there this year. They have a couple of strip bars, which are definitely worth the gander. Okay. And the goose.
And the goose.
Yep. That's the sound the goose made when... the bottoms for this episode are India and Mayhem.
Yes. And the safes are Juju and Alexis.
We love a safe queen.
The girls are back in the workroom. I mean, Mayhem's feeling emotional.
But at least she sings a song about it. I'm in the bottom. And then India says, I'm in the bottom too. Which is, you know, again, double entendre, doing another number this episode. Because bottom two, it could have been bottom T-W-O, bottom T-O-O.
Right.
Yes. Bottom hanging participle.
Triple word score.
Honestly.
And then Cracker says, it's time to have a talk with the divas. This is really where the action happens, is the couch deliberations.
Mm-hmm. Now, India says she's just keeping pushing to stay in the competition. And she says Mayhem dropped the ball a bit in their skit, so she understands why she's in the bottom. This feels like they're trying to make people feel a certain way about India, because they show her saying that about Mayhem, but Mayhem not saying shit about India in the skit. But also maybe May just like decided she was done at this point. Maybe she saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I think Mayhem had she was kind of giving the permission slip to vote for her, which is, she was like,
on Gina Ng.
Well, it's just a game, and I'll be fine either way. Which is, I said this all on Pit Stop, but I mean, it's just how I feel. That's a great philosophy for life, but for this game, you can't give any, like, inkling.
Achilles heel.
Yeah. You can't give any hint that, like, you're okay with going home. Because then the girls would be like, well, she was okay with going home, so I picked her lipstick. You have to do it how India's doing it, which is, I'm here, I'm ready to fight, and here's why the other girl didn't do as good as me.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the picture of Rue in that voting room? She's got that face kinty on.
Face kinty. Face kinty. Yes. I love that picture.
Me too. So they show some of the house. They show some of the girls voting, and Shay and India both vote for Mayhem. And Shay says it because Mayhem voted for her last week. So quid pro quo, Clarice.
She says, I'm going to return the favor. India votes for Mayhem. Mayhem votes for question mark. We don't find out till later.
But she does say, I'm a drag fan and I'm a fan of you, India. So that kind of makes people believe like that she's either saying, but I voted for you anyway, or I voted for myself. I mean, it's one of two ways.
That's why you have to tune into Untucked to find out what happened. Or I guess wait until next week. But
yeah, I usually do that. Or until I get the outline.
Nice.
This is an exciting reveal because at first, by the silhouette for the lipstick assassin,
who'd you think it was?
I thought it was fucking Grimace. That round ass cape. It looked like.
Oh my. God.
It looked like it because, and someone even said, "Is that even a person?" Because the silhouette was just like the silhouette looked like a life size butt plug for a giant.
Okay.
It was just this cape down, like it looked right. Like, yeah. But I was so excited to see Morgan.
Love Morgan, and she really will lip sync the pants off. Yeah, I mean, she really just will.
Let's talk about this lip sync a little bit. There were cartwheels, dips. Splits, cape flips.
I don't believe I've ever seen a drag queen perform Where Have You Been by Rihanna.
Me
to
neither.
My knowledge.
Is it new? And the words are hard because I'm pretty sure there's at least one verse and one chorus. Then it repeats. I feel like Rihanna's been a lot of lip sync songs. She's done at least three, right? I feel like S&M, Shut Up and Drive, Where Have You Been?
She is straight up drag music. I mean, drag queens can't live without Rihanna.
I mean, honestly, she hired Detox, me, and Morgan for a gig years ago, and she was one of the coolest people ever. Smoked us out, was like a dream.
And so you made the cut and you were in the music video? Or?
Yes, I was. That was one of the last times I did extra work in a music video because I wasn't invited to do it on my season of Drag Race. Yeah. But this lip sync for me, I love that they kind of match.
Yes.
I wish Cracker kept on her other outfit because for some reason there's people on the internet going off about her tights not matching her skin, and some asshole on a podcast mentioned it too once. But it's I liked her other outfit better, and I'm like, I get it, but like the other hair was bigger. It had a ponytail you could swing, and now you put on a bob. I'm criticizing because it's what I have nothing else to do. But also, this lip sync did not give me life other than Morgan making me laugh at the end when she was like using the White Walker hooker lady as a skip it. Because I could have literally skipped it. Like, I was just like, I don't know. I would have tipped them both. You know, they're my sisters, but it didn't excite me like Shay and Alyssa. That's for sure.
Well, as far as the lip sync I thought was fun. I mean, Cracker did the sort of, I'm going to go off stage because the song is called Where Have You Been?
So that was funny. I like that.
That was funny. Yeah.
That's funny.
It tickled me pink.
Tickled me fuchsia. F-U-S-C-H-I-A.
Mm-mm. No,
you too.
Still not right.
Hateful fingers.
But as far as the outfit, I understand the idea behind it because she wants to showcase every moment you get to show a new look. Why not do it? She popped in contacts. She changed the hair. She changed
That's
the whole thing.
That's fair. This is a whole new look for a new enamel pin right there.
Exactly. And it was iconic and it was beautiful. But like, you know, I want to see a fucking Marcel wave being flipped around like Britney hair? That doesn't work. That doesn't make sense. So I agree with you that like it would have been fierce to see the other outfit. Mm-hmm. But all in all, she looked cool.
She looked gorge. I mean,
like a fucking undead, you know, ice woman.
Now, do you think it was a tie?
Yes. because I watched it a few times, and I do agree with that, because they both were really great. They were they had a good rapport, and they worked together. It was like that voguing thing where Nina Flowers goes under the legs and uses the, or wait, BB goes under the legs and uses the car wash.
Honestly, they both ended up benefiting and looking better by their sisters' contributions to the show and working together. And I think it was a great display of sisterhood. Morgan's hair was better. It was. And we have to say goodbye to our friend, but at least she could get a ride home with Morgan, because, you know, they live in the same town.
Exactly. I mean, actual tea.
You think they planned that? You think they were like, girl, we're trying to cut our carbon footprint, so when we send Mayhem home, we'll get Morgan.
Girl. Well, Cracker wins a $20,000 tip. But the tie means that two divas could be going home, depending on what lipsticks have been chosen.
Oh, so wow.
The stakes are high.
Sizzling, too. I love a sizzling steak. So Morgan reveals that Mayhem got the chop. And Cracker also reveals that she chose Mayhem as well.
Yeah.
The queen of the party is smiling. She goes out graciously. She says, I'm the queen! The queen of the party!
The queen's not doing this. Is I.
And thank you for translating that to Norwegian.
Yes. Always classy, always a lady, and so gracious. And this was a very nice exit.
Yes. And next week we have to look forward to one of our favorite episodes always. Snatch Game of Love is next week. And Snatch Game is always probably my favorite episode of the season, other than like the top four or like the ball episode, just because I love balls too.
How do you feel about it being Snatch Game of Love again rather than just Snatch Game?
You know what? At this point, it doesn't matter how I feel. I'm just happy to have drag on TV and something to talk about and something to watch. I don't need to criticize all their decisions. Not every challenge is going to reinvent the wheel. And I don't mind that they're trying to keep it fresh after 18 seasons at this point, because this show has had 18 seasons. That is a huge accomplishment for a show that has pushed so many LGBTQIA people to the forefront and has allowed other trans people to shine in certain instances too. So I give it to him. Snatch Game of Love. I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Also, for those of you who watched Untucked, Mayhem voted for herself.
Did she?
Yeah.
Wait.
Now, do you think that...
I don't know about that soundboard chime, because, like, are we judging her voting for herself, or are we judging her for being a reality-based person? She knew what was happening. She could obviously see it. Everybody there thought that her and her teammate were in the top, and then the judges go and put them in the bottom. She knew what was up. And, girl, it was the jig.
And it's... I mean, we're seeing this a lot on.
You might get soundboard privileges revoked, young lady.
I was just thinking, if you're competing, you should be competing. Why would you acquiesce?
Fuck you.
This is the problem, because Angina also voted for herself. But I think that, like, sometimes the making of these choices is becoming like, it's becoming too emotionally sort of exploitative, to the point where the girls are like, I'm just I can't even literally participate in this.
And
so
I'm
just going to choose myself. So everyone just chooses the same lipstick. This is the second time it's happened this season. Do I think it's ideal for, like, television dramatics? No, but that's why I also think, like, the format of the queens voting isn't the best way to have a drag competition. That's what I think.
I mean, we saw it when Manila went home. You know, it's like the Electoral College at this point, all stars and the voting.
Right.
But there are more important things to focus on than the cross-dresser contest that we all love. Do you know that your state has a primary? And do you know if it happened already? Because there's a few more in July. So if you don't know, you could know by going to like rockthevote.gov/jockjams/drag.
Yeah, oh, or that's, Google.
That's not real. You can just Google.
You're not real.
Is there a primary happening in my state? So wait, can you just educate me? When is California?
We already had it.
We had it, girl. We voted earlier this year when everybody had stickers on their Instagrams.
Oh, yes. I did that.
But
okay,
because
great.
Of COVID, a lot of states that would have been in June or even May have sort of pushed. So now there are still primaries coming up. There's still some states that haven't even voted yet.
Did you see what they announced in Atlanta? They're going to use the sports arena as a voting place because so many voting places have been rigor mortis.
See, that's what I like to see.
They're saying, let's get everybody in. We got room in here. I love that the sports people are taking responsibility for that.
We have to fight voter suppression, but the first part of that is knowing when the fucking election is and going out and doing it. Mm-hmm. Also, COVID cases are still skyrocketing in the U.S. Wearing a mask is not like some wacky fashion choice. It's like a health imperative. So just fucking do it.
Yeah. America has been banned from Europe. We have a travel ban. So, hey, Belgium, what's good? Won't see you for a minute. So let's all do our part to get this better. It's important to stay informed and follow the leads of the Black people who started the Black Lives Matter movement years ago. So educate yourself, learn about defunding the police and fighting injustice.
So we thank you very much for joining us for Race Chaser this week. Mm-hmm. And we promise to continue to provide you with award-winning content every week.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And you can rate our podcast and comment about how fantastic it is. And subscribe to make sure you know when each new episode comes out.
Follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000 and our Race Chaser podcast on Instagram is at Race Chaser Pod. And you can use hashtag Race Chaser whenever you post. Send us a DM, send us an email at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com/drag.
Plus, we have our bonus paywall plus the content available at patreon.com/Willem. And we have a new video. It's called the Quarantina Care Packagina.
Mm-hmm. That's and right.
This is a science fact-based experiment and video to see if your sister really knows you. And you can tune in to see what happens.
Yeah, it was very fun. And that bonus content you can find using the hashtag Race Chaser on patreon.com/Willem. And you can watch our content a la carte. And we thank you so much.
And bye.
Bye.
Race Chaser. Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.